need the exercise.
Me too.
Don't move or I gotta start counting my steps, I think. That'll help me get one of those counters. This is a quote from Brené Brown, Daring Greatly. Joy comes to us in moments, ordinary moments. We risk missing out on joy when we get too busy chasing down the extraordinary. Scarcity culture may keep us afraid of living small, ordinary lives. But when you talk to people who have survived great losses, it is clear that joy is not a constant. Without exception, all the participants who spoke to me, the author, about their losses and what they miss the most spoke about ordinary moments. If I could come downstairs and see my husband sitting at the table and cursing at the newspaper, if I could hear my son giggling in the backyard. My mom sent me the craziest texts. She never knew how to work the phone, her phone. I'd give anything to get one of those texts right now.
If you aren't familiar with Brené Brown, I would encourage you to watch her TED Talk. It has really expanded my understanding of how relationships work in the world. I'm pleased to welcome Joe Ridenour, who will read the Practice of Joy written by Reverend Laura Thompson.
Hello again. You get to have a break from me, I believe, next sermon. This is a lovely sermon from Reverend Laura Thompson, The Presence of Joy. I often find it easier, this is a quote, to be teaching or giving to others, and often struggle with the place of my own pleasure and joy, by bell hooks. It's no surprise that the concept of embracing joy feels like a second thought to us. Our days are filled with tasks we need to do. Our hearts and minds are also consumed not only with our to-do lists, but they are besieged by worry, anxiety, and depression at our witnessing of the world's anguish and its suffering. And then there is the absolute, it says shirt show on here, but I'm going to say shit show. The absolute shit show of our political situation. Landscape. So joy is often but a fleeting moment to be had and then quickly diminished and replaced by whatever the news of the world or our lives brings next. Last night, my sump pump stopped working. But it's okay. There's still plenty of joy to be had. The last few years have been especially challenging for everyone. The relentless crises, both global and personal, have left few of us untouched. The pandemic, war in Ukraine and Palestine, and all the other wars, climate change, deep division, and their cascading effects continue to unfold, keeping us in a state of collective and individual strain. We have all suffered the loss of the way things were and the way we thought things ought to be. We have all, no doubt, struggled with our spiritual and mental health. In times like these, the idea of pursuing joy can seem out of place, even frivolous. Compared to the pressing demands of survival and forming a response to the deep needs of the world around us. Yet, for my own well-being, I've come to realize that a life devoid of joy is unbearably bleak. Without it, my sense of self and purpose feels adrift, devoid of meaning. I have not always felt this way. For much of my life, I didn't give much thought to joy as something to be had all the time. It was instead something found on holidays and special occasions, or something earned after a lot of hard work. Has anyone else here ever thought that joy is something you must earn? Show of hands. Me? It's something you have to earn, especially in this consumerist capitalist society. You can't have joy until you earn it. Work. That's right. Where is joy? How do we find it? And why is it so hard to hold on to? Arthur C. Brooks is a Harvard professor and best-selling author on the subject of happiness. He lays out one of the reasons that happiness and joy can be fleeting. He writes, "Our brains are wired to pay more attention to negative emotions than positive ones, a phenomenon called negativity bias. While this might sound discouraging, it actually serves a purpose. Negative emotions help us learn, adapt, and ultimately thrive. This negative bias is something we have evolved into. In early human history, survival often required heightened awareness of dangers, threats, and negative events in the environment. People who were more sensitive to potential risks and concentrated on the negative aspects of their surroundings had a greater chance of staying alive. Though we no longer live in caves, negative bias instincts still thrive in us. It's the underlying reason we hold criticism more deeply in our hearts than praise. It's the reason that small things can often ruin an otherwise good day. It's the reason that our overall fear that we are not or will not be okay or good enough often motivates and steers our lives more than our assurances that everything is good or that we are good enough. It's the reason we get stuck sometimes feeling like it is the end of the world. This life offers us so much to be worried about and to feel threatened about that we never really get a break from it. There is, in every moment, something happening that could be a danger to us, to someone we love, or to the world that we care about. This is an absolute truth. But it is not the only truth. This life also offers us joy. It's just that our evolved brain bias makes it a little harder for us to experience it. Rather than being instinctual to experience all the joy the world has to offer, we have to develop a sense within ourselves to notice it. And this takes a lot of practice. Now, the reasons for developing a stronger sense of joy might seem obvious. Who doesn't want more joy? But as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't come that easy. Either something needs to happen for us to trigger a wider awareness of joy, or we have to practice looking for it. I wasn't always good at seeing it. That is, I wasn't always good at basking in the amazing beauty and joy that surrounds me all the time. I do recall one moment, however, that shifted things for me. I was working at Camp Unistar, a UU family camp up north, about a decade ago as their summer food service director. The camp is on the peninsula of a small island in the middle of Cass Lake. It is gorgeous there. You can watch the sunrise over the lake on one side of the camp and watch it set over the lake on the other side. I did enjoy the scenery there, but it was also a lot of work. If I'm being honest, I'm a city girl. Born... Gay? Born and raised... Oh, Jesus. I am a city girl. And raised, so some of life in the woods was hard for me. Mostly that there were critters everywhere. Bugs galore. Chipmunks getting into the kitchen. Raccoons. Anyone ever been to Raccoon Lake? We know that, about those. Getting into the trash cans and screaming in the woods at each other, which terrified me the first time I heard them. I was sure someone was getting murdered. And then there were the mice. Mice live in the woods, and some of them lived in my cabin. I hate mice. Because, well, I'm terrified of them. This is also some likely human psychological holdover from the scourge of the bubonic plague. So despite being on a relaxing island in the woods, I was always a bit stressed out, my moments of joy being more fleeting than the time I spent feeling anxious about critters. It felt like they were ruining my time in this beautiful place. Very early one morning, I woke up early. Wait, shortly after 5, having to go to the bathroom, which was always stressful for me, because it was possible, even likely, that I would see a mouse. I quickly made my way to the bathroom, eyes mostly shut, and did my business. But on my way back to bed, my squinting eyes were met by something else. Shining through my cabin windows was the most brilliant shade of pink light I had ever seen. And it was demanding me to open my eyes fully. The color was like something from a Technicolor dream. And it did not just demand the attention of my eyes, but of my whole body, still half asleep. I put on my glasses, sweatshirt, and sneakers, and went out to investigate, walking down the trail to the boat dock. The water on the lake was calm, and it reflected the light that was coming over the horizon in the most brilliant streaks of pink, orange, blue, and purple I had ever seen. I was stunned, awestruck, and overcome with a sense of peace and joy, which I wished was more familiar to me than it was. So after that day, I went down the dock, whenever I woke up to pee in the morning. And I thought to myself that this brilliant display of color was my reward for my hard work on the island and for my constant battle of mind over matter with the mice. That battle had cost me a lot. Oh, wait. Yeah. Of any sense of ease that island life was supposed to bring, and when I returned home at the end of the summer, I was emotionally exhausted from trying to keep my fear and discomfort at bay. I soon settled into life back at home and started my new job as a chaplain resident at United Hospital. One morning, I was headed out the door to catch my bus to go downtown when I stopped dead in my tracks the second I opened the door. There. Ripping through the trees and rooftops and amid the city noise was the same brilliant light. Pink, blue, purple, and oranges, as vivid as they had been on the island. I once again stood in awe as a smile came over me. How had I never noticed that before? I mean, sure. Sometimes I would see a pretty sunrise or sunset in the city and maybe even say it was pretty as a sign of observation. But I had never let it wash over me. Except for those mornings on the island, I had never surrendered to the beauty of the morning and let it bring me unbridled joy. And yet, it had always been there, just waiting for me to notice. Sometimes joy is something we make happen. Sometimes it is caused by special events or circumstances. But there is also a larger truth about joy. It is always there. But there is another absolute truth right alongside it. 16th century French theologian John Calvin writes, "There is not one blade of grass, there is no color in this world that is not intended to make us rejoice. Joy is all around you in every moment of every day, unearned, undeserved, unfettered, and waiting for you to take notice. But it takes practice to let it in, to make space for it among our to-do lists and worries. Lucky for us, a new season of joy has just arrived. And here you may find joy in all forms, natural and supernatural, personal and shared, in its simplest form, and its most over-the-top glory. This is your invitation, even though you don't need one, to practice seeing joy and experiencing joy this month, not just at parties, not just on trips to the beach, not just in the sports games you attend, but in the beauty, brilliance, love, and kindness that this world gives you every day. And here are a couple of ways to begin this month and take practice in joy. Start a joy journal. Get a small notebook to carry with you, or start a note on your phone, and write down moments of joy you encounter, however small, throughout your day. Your instinct may be to write them down at the end of the day, but that negative bias we have sometimes causes little moments of joy to be overlooked soon after they happen, so write them down. Take a photo on your phone of something that brought you a feeling of joy that day and post it on your social media account with hashtag 31 days of joy, and invite your friends to post their pics as well. Have a joyful check-in at the dinner table with your partner or kids. If you live alone, connect with someone here and ask them to be your joy buddy for a month. This is not just some wishful invitation, though some birthday card platitudes wishing you. This is not some wishful invitation, though some birthday card platitude wishing you joy. This is a serious shout out to your heart and soul to practice finding joy. The coming year will bring challenges, personal and collective. Oh my God, it's only been 3 months, right? Sorry. Joy. Okay. Joy. The coming year. Yes, I know. I read that. The current presidential administration already has us worried sick. We know what is at stake. We know we will be called upon to respond, to raise our voices and take action. In order to do that, we need not only to be grounded in love and centered on our values, we also need to be steeped in joy. How else are we supposed to deal with it? Joy for this world and joy for this life we share, because when it comes right down to it, isn't that our ultimate goal for everyone? To experience peace and comfort and joy for all of their days. So let us open our hearts, our eyes, and ears to experience the joy that surrounds us. Let us lift our voices in the praise of joy and offer our hands in gratitude, generously sharing the gift of joy wherever we go. Thank you, and blessed be.
Thank you, Joe. We have time for some discussion, and I might comment that you could, if you like, you can just share what brings you joy. And being here in this caring, loving congregation amongst people I know care for me and I care for them is one of my joys in my life. So I think Jeff had his hand up.
Boy, this topic, this is our topic for the month, right? Joy. This is overwhelming to think of our focus on joy. I need that. Because, I'm sure we'll talk about all the reasons why we are fighting this. I'm getting too old to make it to the State House yesterday, but I was there in spirit, certainly. And keep it up. Oh, one more thing. If this challenges you to want to talk more about these things, we want to start a chalice circle. And just let me know your names if you're interested. We could either do it, whatever the group wants to do, either in, we come here and do it at the table over there, or we do it on Zoom. So, whatever you know.
So the thought of punishing yourself to get joy, like I'm so good at that. I have this constant voice in my head that says that I can't do the thing that I want to do until the house is clean. And it sounds a lot like my mother. and I have acknowledged this and worked against it for probably 20 years. And it still is something that I continue to have to work against, that I can't do anything that makes me happy until the house is clean. So I just wanted to acknowledge that as something that really resonated with me, and that it's such a dumb thing that we get stuck on. And then in terms of what brings me joy, I will mention, and I don't feel like everything has to be political, even though our lives are political, but that the march yesterday was so joyful for me. It was cold, it was raining, we were under flash flood warnings. we are, you know, what little color dots we are in what color state, and it was packed, and I think between 6 and 8 was my count, 6 and 8,000. And it was just amazing. I had to contain how excited and joyful I was, because there were moments where it was very serious and I just wanted to be like dancing in the streets. But it was really incredible and inspiring. And there are some great videos, online compilations from all around the country. I don't watch a lot of regular news, so I don't know if that's the sort of thing you would see on the news, but it's worth looking up, because there's really like a lot of joyful spirit. There are so many people out there that aren't willing to continue to be trampled on.
I have two things. One, this need to flagellate ourselves to feel joy or satisfaction even with our lives, with who we are, is such a capitalist nightmare dystopian thing that we have been trained since, and I need to be clear, since this country was created. This country was not created by democratic messiahs. This country was created by slave owners who cared about one thing, their bottom line, their dollar. And that has never changed. And part of that is creating a workforce that believes that joy is something you have to earn, which it is not. And the other thing was, in terms of the march, one of the speakers, I can't remember exactly what she said, but she said, "I haven't felt this alive in years or a long time." I got the feeling of years, which I agree with. And it was just nice to not feel so fucking alone again. You know? These echo chambers we're all stuck in, liberal and conservative, or, you know, centrist. We're all so divided and hate, like, we all hate each other, which we should only hate one group of people.
Okay, I'm an aggressive socialist Democrat. We should hate billionaires. Okay, billionaires. Okay, that's who we should hate. Not each other.
Well, I was left you talking about the right, but yeah, I'll agree with you on the zillionaires.
Well, the right is just being fooled. That's all that is.
Yeah.
I can attest that those joys from summer camp last your entire life and enhance the joys you experience later on. She did not say whether she had to go out of the building to go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock, but some of those walks are just magical.
Thank you, Diane.
I lost my train of thought. There is that feeling that you have to earn joy. I know a lot of women feel like they gotta get everything all under control and all house clean and all that before they can do anything they really enjoy. The idea of earning joy. But also for people who have gone through trauma and haven't had much joy in their lives, when something good happens, they often are waiting for the other shoe to drop. So they really have a hard time. They really have to work at it to enjoy the present moment of joy. So, also, I was really glad to hear that Caucasian people were kind of giving a break to non-Caucasian, black, brown folks to say, you can sit this one out because you have been through so much. Your protests are not quite as easy as white folks' protests. So I was glad to see that.
So good.
Next.
Just don't move on yet. Just wait. Somebody else start. Come back.
He's got something to say.
So good.
Is this moving rated to your joys and concerns?
Yes. Yeah.
It's mine and my wife's first time here. I haven't been to church in at least 5, if not 6 years. I've said so many times that I left the Christian church, the traditional Christian church, because of the Christian values that I was raised with, and I did not see those reflected in the people and the congregations and the systems of organized religion around me. And just knowing that there's a community here that is actually cares about the values that I truly believe in is very encouraging. So thank you all for who you are and what you do.
I remembered what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Unitarian Universalists are known as the church that people who thought they'd never come back to church go. So.
Shouldn't
be.
Okay, yeah. The way I feel, how many ex-Catholics? A few of them. Well, I was dating a Catholic in my youth, in way before. And she was Catholic, and she had me going to church with her, and I learned a little bit about purgatory, but I'm not the one that should explain what it is, but I just consider it
somewhere halfway between heaven and hell. But that's the way I feel right now. Yeah. In our current status, we have to figure out how we can bring joy to each other and do better. Thank you.
I'll stop mic hogging in just a second. First of all, I had to be dragged here because I was so anxious about church. Because I grew up as a witness, a Jehovah's Witness. Wise man. So, you have allies here. All of us care about, we're on the right side of history. So, I'm Joe, by the way. I forgot we should introduce ourselves. But I was going to say, going back to what you said about joy and happiness, it makes me think of happiness. I don't like the word happiness because it implies a burden of like, happy feels like something that's continuous. You mentioned people who don't feel, who have trauma. I have trauma. And this idea that, well, you're not a happy person. Well, you have so much to be happy about. Happy. I prefer joy because it's more, there's less weight on that. I can just have this joyful moment and then move on to being sad and depressed because I am. And that's okay. Whereas happy, it's like you have to be happy. And that's I feel like that's part of, like, for example, men refusing to go to therapy. They have to be happy and strong. Like, it's that kind of, it's one of those stereotypes that I just despise. That's all. Thank you. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
I follow Sheila Kennedy's blog, and it was real downer today. But what it made me think about is that, you know, it's not like totally gone one way or bringing it back where it was. She was talking about, you know, particularly in international relations, it was, you know, we've kind of lost it because people aren't going to trust us for a long time. Right. But the other side of all of this is that the harder we work, the harder we fight, the more we slow it down. And maybe instead of suffering under a autocratic regime for 50 years, if we can stop it sooner with our fighting, when it's going bad, don't lose faith, because the more we can slow it down and the quicker we can stop it, the quicker we can come back to where we are. Maybe instead of 50 years, it only takes 5 to bring it back, or 10. But still, that's way better than 50 if Trump really gets control of things. So that's kind of a downer, but hopefully an upper too. When they train ministers, they always teach them, it's okay to bring your congregation down, but bring them back up too.
if you feel anxious or alone or powerless, just go to march. I swear to goodness. Yeah.
I'm going to try and make it to the next one.
And I feel great after yesterday.
Good. Anybody else want to speak?
So
Sam's awful quiet over there. Nope, nothing. Okay.
You want to say something?
Yeah. I'm Tyler. So we moved to Avon about 9 months already ish. We lived in a small home in Lawrence. It was kind of a nice walkable area. It was pretty ideal, I guess, what you would think a city life was. But after being there for a while, we realized, you know, it wasn't the right fit for us. Our kids needed room to roam. Yeah, it's been my relationship with joy has been interesting, I guess, over the last 9 moving here. We bought a really old house, and even just this last week, we found new leaks. And we've spent a bunch of money as soon as we moved in to deal with some drainage issues, and we need new windows and a lot of stuff. But every time I complain about it, I always have a smile on my face. So I guess I'd say I feel like it's not I don't know, just had to try to make steps in the right direction, and I don't know, the joy kind of came along with it. As I did.
Thank you. Okay. Nobody else, okay. Okay, for our joys and concerns, our community cares about the significant challenges, successes, and milestones of our lives. We now invite those of you who would like to come to the front, state your name, and share your joys and/or your concerns.